This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Mary Shedden with Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies.
I saw you from the time I was 14 until then.
I was 11 years old when I first went to see Larry.
I was 7 years old.
I was only 12.
I had been his patient since I was 8 years old.
The pain you have caused me mentally and emotionally is unexplainable.
Those are just a few of the 150 sexual assault victims who spoke out at the sentencing of USA Gymnastics' Larry Nassar. Kelly, those voices, which we heard from the podcast The Daily, they aren't typical.
No, it is so rare in American journalism to hear the voice of a sexual assault survivor. Most of that is because traditionally sexual assault survivors' names are kept anonymous to spare them the stigma and shame.
But we're seeing this happening more. Why is that?
Well, I think it's the culmination of a bunch of different things. If you look at the coverage of the Bill Cosby story and then the coverage of the Harvey Weinstein story, and that all leading to the Me Too moment where we started talking about sexual harassment and assault in the workplace, that's one factor. But in addition to that, what I see among the younger generation of sexual assault survivors is a rejection of the stigma and shame that society puts on them. And that's mainly because through the internet, they can connect with each other and tell their stories in alternative forums. And that gives them the power and the confidence to reject those societal judgments.
Recently, a young Tampa woman, she published a video on YouTube, and she alleged sexual abuse at the hands of a doctor she had worked for. A lot of media did quick hit stories about the fallout of that case. How does that case stack up about how you see media covering sexual assault?
The stories that I've seen so far covering that case fall very much into the traditional version of how journalists tell the story. And that's because they're motivated by a public safety imperative. As journalists, we think, oh, we have to let people know that this happened so that they can protect themselves. But if you play that out a little bit further, those stories really do very little to help families protect their children or their loved ones from sexual assault, because all it does is tell you about one possible case.
Is there another way to tell the story then?
If journalists considered sexual assault a public health problem, they would tell the story in a very different way.
How so?
If you look at the cases of Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein, you see that because those subjects were so powerful, journalists didn't report the story until they were relatively certain that they knew exactly what had happened. They had a lot of sources lined up, and they'd done deep, deep investigation into it. So I would recommend to editors that they don't cover cases of sexual assault unless they're going to spend a lot of resources to figure out what happened.
Do you see anybody doing that?
The way we got to Larry Nassar's sentencing started with an investigative report by the Indianapolis Star. Their target was USA Gymnastics and a number of coaches who had been reported to law enforcement but kept coaching. That story eventually turned up the very first victim to come forward publicly and say that Dr. Nassar assaulted her. And then hundreds and hundreds of other girls came forward. I hope that newsrooms will continue to devote investigative resources to this really important story.
Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute, thanks again for your insight.
You're welcome.